Good morning, listeners. You're welcome to this week's Ag Report. I'm Jim Finn. This morning we have a special feature on the weather because it is causing quite inconvenience to farmers, and I have three segments of the programme talking to different people, giving advice to farmers as to what they should do in the current situation. Listeners, my first guest this morning is James Milan from Chagas, and James is in the Clonmel office, and we are going to be talking about the topic of the week, as a matter of fact, the topic of the year at this stage, and that is the weather and what can farmers do to alleviate some of the pressures caused by the weather we have been having since, believe it or not, back in last July. Good morning, James, and thanks very much for joining us.
Good morning, Jim. Thanks for having me on the show.
Now, James, I know you're a dairy farmer, and I'm quite sure that you're under quite a bit of pressure, as is every single dairy farmer, not to talk about the tillage farmer, not to talk about the beef farmer. Every single section of the agricultural industry is under pressure. So what can people do, James?
Yeah, James, so look, I suppose the wet weather, you know, has put a lot of additional work on farms at this time of the year, where normally cows would be out full-time, whereas we're now looking at a scenario where, you know, farmers are housing cows again in the middle of the day, they're liming cubicles twice, and, you know, at this time of the year, I think that would have been, you know, like, normally that practice, it may be done at night time only, but not twice a day. And I think even the assessment that if you visit a lot of co-ops looking for lime, the amount of lime inside the co-ops is actually quite scarce at the moment, because I think it's unprecedented, and we probably didn't see this, I suppose this weather type of situation, since 2018. But I suppose it can happen. And I think also the fact that, you know, a lot of slurry tanks are full or close to full, and farmers are juggling slurry around from one tank to the other. It's had a lot of work though at this time of year, but normally we'd be facing into the breeding season. And I think in a normal year, we'd be talking about carrying out pre-breeding heat checks on cows, as opposed to managing cows during wet weather at this time of the year, you know.
Yeah.
And I suppose, look, even just to put it into context and how clients are at the moment, you know, like up to about 40% of farmers that were surveyed last week by Chagas had little or no grazing done. So, you know, and I suppose that was due in most cases to weather conditions, and, you know, you've got varying soil types across the county and across the country. And I suppose we're at the stage now where, you know, silage stocks are getting very low. People are stretching out the amount of silage they have. It is available to purchase locally still, but it's getting scarce. And I suppose the problem is, a lot of the silage that you buy this time of the year, the quality isn't going to be 70% BMD plus, so it's going to be probably average quality silage. And our cows are now facing into peak milk production. We need to maintain body condition score. Breeding is only around the corner. And we just need to see what we can do in order to, we have to look after the cow this time of the year. She has to go back and calf. So we have to prioritise the condition on the cow and the nutrition of the cow in order to preserve that body condition score, that we don't affect her, you know, long term in terms of fertility or milk production for the rest of the year. And I suppose that's what we need to focus on now.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah,
you know, I suppose if you look at from two scenarios, a cow housed indoors fully on silage, getting 5 kilos a meal. You know, she's probably calved 8-9 weeks at this stage, some of the early calving ones. That'll only support around 21 litres, roughly around, you know, 3.1% protein. Whereas if you can get some grass into the cow only by day, so one bout of 3-hour grazing, mm-hmm. you know, give her 6 to 7 kilos of grass, you know, another, you know, 4.5 to 5 kilos of ration and silage as well by night, that'll support somewhere in the region of around 24 litres of milk at around 3.46% protein. So we're meeting the cow's energy needs. We're setting the cow for breeding. And that's the kind of scenario we're trying to encourage farmers to try and get out to the drier parts of their farm to graze grass at this stage, Jim. And that's the key and the priority going forward for the next couple of weeks for the people that haven't got grass into the system.
Right. And if people have to go out and buy silage, you know, that's going to put pressure on them as well. Because, you know, silage, you know, at what, 40 euros a bale, it's expensive, isn't it?
Yeah. So, Jim, I suppose, you know, I suppose, well, you probably have no choice when you're about to pay the market demands, but there is other options out there. And I think if you act in time, and that's why I suppose it's prudent, if your stocks are running low and if you're trying to extend out your first rotation, you know, there's other options out there. And I suppose the first one is getting a 3-hour grazing bout into the cows, but also maybe looking at adding an additional fibre source as an extra feed out of the parlour. And what I mean by fibre source out of the parlour, something that you're not complicating the diet. So the likes of soya hulls, bee pulp, maybe palm kernel, something where the cows can actually, it's a digestible fibre source to the cow. It won't cause a stomach upset. It is available. I suppose the problem with buying silage as well, Jim, you know, you have to pay for it on the day. So from a cash flow point of view, it also puts pressure on farmers. Whereas, and I don't mean to say this, but you know, farmers will have credit terms with their co-ops or their merchants. So they may be able to defer the payments for the likes of, you know, the bee pulps or the soy hulls or the palm kernel until later on in the season. And, you know, when the bigger milk checks are coming through as well. So that may alleviate pressure. But the key in that scenario is that, you know, I suppose don't wait till the silage runs out. You have to act now. And I suppose the fact that, you know, 40% of farmers have little or no grazing done. And, you know, I suppose they're the farms here that wouldn't have been out typically in early February doing the on-off grazing. They maybe need to start looking at, like, because there is a lot of grass in those farms, maybe start getting the cows out for 3 hours. And when I say that, the cows go out, the minute they finish grazing, come back in to limit the damage. That the post-grazing residuals, they may not be, you know, exact in that you may not have got down to 50 or 50 kilos of a post-grazing height or post-grazing yield, but you can correct that in the next round. When it, and if you know when the weather does pick up as well, and like the days are longer, 1 or 2 dry days makes a huge difference at this time of the year. So, you know, hopefully it's only around the corner. You know, I can't predict the weather, but I'm hopeful that we're only another week, hopefully, or more away. But look, we have to be realistic as well, and we have to put a plan in place that if it doesn't happen, that we have enough of fodder on the farm, and that we are looking after the cows. And you know.
I know this is Saturday. We're given a storm for today. That's not very helpful, is it, with quite a bit of rain? I believe, and you probably have more up-to-date information than I have, that there's a lot of rain forecast for Monday. So, it's all very difficult for a farmer, and there isn't much light on the horizon, is there?
No, so I think there's 40 mils of rain for Monday. Hopefully we don't get that level. And, you know, look, but it's a lot of rain. It's a lot of rain to get. And I think even, you know, your mention since last July, I think is at Johnstown Castle. I was looking at on Fort Met Aaron, but they've got, was it 1,200 mils since last June or last July, sorry, which is a lot of rain in that part of the country. Mm-hmm. And I think even down south, maybe versus, so I don't want to make it the north versus south, but I think the Moor Park research station has got roughly 60 mils of rain more than Ballyhays. And in Ballyhays, I got a lot of rain as well. Mm-hmm. So I'm not belittling anyone up north, but, like, you know, you would normally be the other way around. And, you know, it was quite a lot of rain in a short period of time. And, like, it has made ground conditions untraffable. I suppose, like, if there's 40 mils of rain forecasted, the recommendation would be, you know, trying to get 2 bouts of grazing in that scenario, it could be difficult. But I think we need to look, you know, that if the following day is dry, or if the day before, and if there's 2 or 3 hours, or maybe, you know, the morning dry, try and get 2 or 3 hours into the cows. And the problem really is, Jim, with cows is when they start walking around, standing at the gaps after grazing, that's when they do the damage. Like if they go out, you know, do their grazing, come back in. I know it means you have to line the cubicles twice, but at least you're getting a high energy feed into the cows, and it is supporting milk production. It's also helping her to maintain her body condition score as well. And that's the key. And we need to I suppose just be more reactive, mm-hmm. keep an eye on the forecast, look for the dry spells, and, you know, just kind of alter maybe our habits, because I think what can happen is, you know, it's raining, you let the cows in, the decision is made, the gate is closed. Whereas, you know, if you watch the forecast, maybe hold them back after milking for maybe, you know, half an hour, see if the weather, look at the forecast, maybe the weather is improving, let them out for 2 or 3 hours, back in again, you know. And I suppose that's the type of mentality we need to adopt in the next couple of weeks. And it's only from, you know, yeah, I suppose looking at a cost point of view, but also looking after the cow as well, Jim, you know.
Okay. Well, look at James, we're out of time, but look at, you're after giving some very good advice to farmers, particularly dairy farmers, this morning. That listener was James Milan from Chagas. Listeners, my next guest this morning is somebody I've had on the programme before, but he's a very important man now, given the situation that exists out there today with shortage of fodder, weather not great, raining in a part of the country every single day. And he is Stuart Anthony, and Stuart is with Berry BPI. And so we're going to be talking about the weather and what people can do, at least supplement the fodder that they have. And we're also going to be talking about haylage. Good morning, Stuart, and thanks very much for joining us.
Good morning, Jim. It's nice to be with you.
Yeah, it's nice to have you back, Stuart. Now, we are in a very precarious position with regard to fodder at the moment.
Yes, it's a very, very challenging time. There's no doubt about that. And obviously, here in Wales, we're getting the rain that comes across from you. And we're all hoping that they had such a wet winter that perhaps we'd see a sign of earlier spring. But this is very not happening. And ground conditions are so bad that getting livestock out is very, very difficult. And as you said, now it's putting massive stress on silage stocks. What's out there to keep the cows milking and the animals going until we do finally get them out onto the grass.
You say it's bad in Wales. Well, I can tell you one thing. We get the weather, the rain in particular, here in the whole of the island of Ireland before you get it in Wales. So, you know, you're not getting it all.
No. I imagine we left a little bit behind for you. I know. No, it is. I think our rain forecast said we've had a third as much rain in March as we what the normal figures are, and it could even be higher than that, to be honest with you. I think it's as you said, it's very challenging. And I think now that perhaps there was a good supply of silage made last year, but the way the month of April is looking and for the next few days, clearly that's going to start to be got into silage, hay, anything that's available, to be honest with you, to get through to the grass.
Yeah, and what would you then say, you know, I'm sure you say exactly the same thing to a Welsh farmer, but what would you say to an Irish farmer who finds himself in a shortage situation at the moment?
Well, I think when a farmer makes his own silage or haylage or hay, he would be knowing what the qualities are, obviously. But obviously, once you start buying in, you have the risk of perhaps not having such a higher quality silage as you're used to. So I think probably from milk yields and solids and fats on that, you're going to have to see what that challenge is doing and whether they're dropping away. So keep a close eye on the performance of your animals, because there may be a situation that perhaps you need to supplement them with actually something else just to get those levels up until the fresh grass comes, you know, perhaps with some bought-in maize or some concentrate. I know it's an extra cost, but it all depends what you're trying to produce at the other end with varying quantities of fodder that is available at the end of the season.
Now, you are definitely talking sense, because I was talking to one of the lorry men who collects milk, and over last weekend, before last weekend, cows were doing reasonably well here in Ireland, but over the weekend they dropped, and in one particular yard that he went into, there was a drop of 500 litres in the collection. So, you know, that's serious at this time of the year.
I think this is very general, and we've heard one or two reports of this where people have tried to perhaps buy clamp silage, maize in, yeah, out of a clamp, so they give that extra energy, that burst. And I think this is probably focuses our mind, and then we touched on this in the start of last season, where the focus is to make the best quality silage off your land on, obviously, as much as you can. We can't always sort of forecast what this sort of weather is going to be now, what we're having now, end of March, April, and to make sure the quality is there so production will be continued right throughout the right to the shoulders and into the grass season. But it's very easy to say that. It's very difficult when you're not sure what the weather is going to do to you. I appreciate.
Right. Now, okay, and you're particularly with me to talk about what we can do for the winter of 24-25, and we're going to talk a bit about haylage. So will you tell my listeners all about haylage and what farmers should be doing? We're really only maybe at most 7 weeks away from first cut silage here, and maybe shorter.
Yes. It's amazing how quick it will creep upon us. And I think we could go from winter to early summer very quickly, but like we did last year, early in those months. Yes, I think, as we said, the focus has to be on making sure that we get good quality grass, dry, but young, and not get grass get too old, too stemmy. We're going to lose nutrition and value, and also energies and devalues. You've got to make the very best of what we've got. I think also we have to make sure that we preserve it in the best manner, for the fact that it's going to keep throughout, perhaps if it's round bales, making sure we put enough layers of bale wrap on there, and obviously if you're using the net replacement film like Bale Tight, give it as much protection as possible so the quality can hold right throughout the season. And also, the main thing is, I think it's looking like as well, people might have to take some grass off when the cushions do dry up so they can get the grazing platforms back correct again for the rest of the season for production and going on into the autumn. So there's a huge amount of juggling that's going to be taking place, I think. But the focus has to be thinking is making good young silage often and of high quality. And I think this is vital for the season and into the winter of 24-25.
You definitely said something that farmers are considering here in Ireland at the moment, and that is because they haven't got their animals out early enough to pick up the early grass that they would have for cows, that they are considering wrapping some of that at the moment.
And I think probably that will, and I think they'll probably do that in bales, because it probably wouldn't be a big enough cut for the clamp and the all-in-one operation that takes place when you do that. And it gives them that flexibility of controlling the quality of the grass in front of the cows just until they get back into the platforms. I think that's probably where bale silage does fit in very well in that system. Clearly, clamp silage is very important. A lot of them do clamps as well, but it's balancing the right fit for that moment in time. But I think there's, as you said, because this weather's doing this now, like even over here in the west of Wales, grass is growing well, but it's just impossible to get near it, which is very frustrating.
Yeah, now your company, you're in the business of wrap and the number of layers of wrap and netting. So what would your advice be to any farmer that has to go and do some wrapping now this early in the season?
We always advise that you should be wrapping six layers of film around your bale. And of course, a lot of people, as I said, also use net replacement film. I think this is very important, especially if these bales were going to be what we would say would be the back of the stack. Because in reality, probably those are the ones that are going to be used this time next year. So it makes sure the silage is kept in top quality and top condition. I do appreciate that perhaps if you've got a silage that you know you're going to use, you make August, September, and now you're going to use it fairly quickly, but then some people perhaps would only put four layers of wrap and bale tight on there. But I think the thing is, plan when you're going to use it and make sure it's wrapped and looked after properly so it is at its very best when you come to use it.
You know, farmers can't afford nowadays with the cost of inputs to have any silage lost because it hasn't been wrapped properly.
No, absolutely not. And as I said, and that is where the extra cost of putting some more layers on there, yes, it is an extra cost, but if you think of the investment in the new reseeds, the grass layer that's been purchased, the cost of fertilizer, the final little bit of preservation is actually quite cheap in comparison, but will yield so many benefits, as you can't afford to have waste. And as we said, going into probably it's going to be a very, very difficult next couple of 3 weeks. Every mouthful of fodder is vital, so our preservation has to be has to be at the very highest levels we can.
And Stuart, before I let you go, some of my listeners wouldn't be fully au fait with your product. So can you give me the product name so that somebody that does want to go into their local merchant, that they would be able to buy the products that your company are selling?
Yeah, our brand of Bellwrap is the Silotype brand, which is actually 40 years old this year. So we've been in the business from the very beginning. So yes, Silotype Bellwrap, either in a box, also now what is growing is the longer roll, the Silotype 1800, which is proven to be a brilliant counterpart along with the bale type product, the barrel film, the net replacement film. So those combined together are given excellent oxygen barrier, no oxygen ingress, and proven in the market over the years. So yes, as you said, from our point of view, we recommend Silotype and Bale-Tite to go around your bales in the film on film process.
Okay, well, look at Stuart, I want to thank you ever so much for joining us all the way from Wales this morning. That, listeners, was Stuart Anthony, and he mentioned his products there, and he's from a company called Very BPI. Listeners, my next guest this morning is Amy Ford from the Irish Farmers Journal. And in this week's journal, of course, the main topic is the topic of weather. And as you all know, this particular stage that Minister Hayden has rode in on this particular subject as well. And I'm quite sure Amy will be able to bring us up to speed with regard to where we now stand with regard to weather issues. Good morning, Amy, and thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Jim.
Okay, Amy, I suppose weather is causing concerns across the country and farmers are beginning to get a little bit desperate, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Look, it's been an absolute torrid spring so far. We're used to hearing farmers saying to us over the last couple of weeks that, you know, it hasn't stopped raining since July, and it literally kind of hasn't, to be honest. Met Éireann's March rainfall figures were out there earlier in the week, and they confirmed it was a washout, you know, record rain for 60 or 80 years in parts of the country for March. And I suppose a lot of people might say that, you know, March of 2023 was fairly wet as well, but that was after a fairly dry February, like not months on end of rain. So look, that's really compounding issues inside farm gates. I suppose there's a bit of mixed messaging coming from government on it. We had Friday of last week, the Department of Agriculture ruling out, basically saying that there was no money for subsidising feed purchases or a fodder support scheme in 2024. And then in this week's journal, Minister of State at the Department of Agriculture, Martin Hayden, then told us that the provision of measures to alleviate fodder shortages on farms hasn't been ruled out. And he said the possible measures being considered included short-term cash flow financing and logistical support for fodder deliveries to severely impacted areas if conditions persist. So that's if the weather continues to be cat, basically. So it's interesting that there's, you know, mixed messages coming there. I suppose since the paper came out on Thursday, Minister for Agriculture Charlie McConlogh has moved to hit pause on all non-essential farm inspections, and he's tasked Chagas to go away and meet again next week, this coming week, the National Fodder and Food Committee. And so that'll meet then as well. So, you know, there are a couple of moving plates, but mixed messaging come from government at the same time on where things go from here.
Right. And I know we're having a chat on Thursday afternoon. And if we look at the forecast, that is forecast for the coming weekend, what with a storm, Kathleen or something, some name like that, about to descend upon us, there doesn't appear to be any light on the horizon as far as some good weather is concerned.
Sadly not. And look, we're not obviously trying to dampen it even worse, but Monday is looking fairly desperate in the northwest, west and southwest of the country in general. And there is more rain on the way. You know, there's no real break coming there, perhaps next Tuesday or a bit, possibly in patches on Sunday. But look, there's no good news there. And that storm at the weekend, like, there's an orange wind warning and yellow wind warnings at play there. There's up to 40 mil rain forecast in parts of the southwest of the country. Like, it's not getting any better. And I suppose all farmers can do is try and manage as best they can with the factors that they're being presented with, I suppose. You know, we're no strangers to rain in this country, Jim, but for the amount of time that it's been going on now at this stage, you know, it is becoming a major issue on farms.
But we are strangers to not being able to get crops in as far as the sowing of, you know, spring barley and spring wheat, where we are strangers to trying to get cows out in the month of March, and we're now gone into April and an awful lot of dairy cows are not out on grass yet.
Yeah, and on the tillage side first, like, look, morale is low in the sector there. Like, it was the cat harvest and then cat conditions in parts for planting winter crops. And then the hope was that it would turn for spring planting. And that, look, obviously hasn't happened. And Michael Hennessy of Chagask this week told us that we're past the ideal sowing date, but if the weather comes just right at the right time, all of the crops could actually do really well. So there is, you know, a bit of hope on the horizon there, and all is not lost, he's saying, essentially. But he did warn if there's a dry period in the middle, then that they could all do quite poorly. And, you know, I'm trying to lighten things here, like, you know, the Pat Short skit that it'd be a great country if only you could roof it really comes to mind at this time of year, if I can manage to lighten the chat for a minute. But look, he said, look, farmers can only cope with what they're doing on the grazing side, and you'll be no stranger to this. Chagask are basically advising the farmers need to get cows out on grass as much as possible rather than waiting for the perfect conditions to get out. And I think that might be difficult for some farmers to hear, because they're looking out at the rain and looking out at the grass and knowing that if they send cows out, they might be doing more damage for later in the year and trampling silage ground and everything else, you know. So they're really between a rock and a hard place, but Chagask are saying the farmers just have to make a start, depending on your soil type, obviously. But look, they're just basically saying that they're accepting that the conditions are challenging, but there's a difference between poaching and marking, and where cows are out marking ground, that's okay, paddocks will recover. So look, that's where we are on that front.
Okay, and on the potato front, we had, you know, an update on that as well, and the potatoes are going to get very, very scarce. And I suppose for the second time in a number of months, we saw potatoes floating in water. So again, the consumer will probably suffer with regard to how expensive potatoes are going to go, because the farmers can't even get the early crop in for 2024.
Yeah, exactly. So we'd have covered it about 2 weeks ago that Chagask was warning that we are facing a potato shortage this year. Like, St. Patrick's Day has come and gone, the traditional date for having spuds in the ground. Farmers just can't get out into fields, Jim. They just can't get out into them. And that could impact on shop shelves later in the year. And I suppose I've made this point as well that, you know, I'm sure, like, while there will be short of potatoes on a consumer point of view, I'm sure that the supermarkets will move to import spuds to replace Irish spuds on shop shelves if and when it comes to it. But, you know, you'd be expecting that farmers, if there is shorter supply of Irish spuds, you'd be expecting that they would, you know, maybe stump up and pay more for those spuds, Irish quality spuds, because there's less of them this year. So we'll have to see where that goes. But it'll be later in the year when we know more on that. And I suppose we'll be able to really judge it in the next couple of weeks and speaking to those potato farmers and see what's actually gone in the ground between now and, you know, maybe a month's time.
You also have a piece in the journal this week giving advice on how people should deal with the current weather situation. So what kind of advice are you giving farmers?
Yeah, so Aidan Brennan and Declan Collins this week, they're looking at some of the practical things farmers can do to manage during this crisis, or this wet weather crisis, really, you know, on dairy farms, basically. Specifically, so on the silage front, work out how much silage is in the yard and how long is that going to last for. And I suppose, look, Chagask has surveyed, their latest survey shows that 29% of dry stock farmers have just 10 days of fodder or less, and then nearly 50% of dairy farms still have cows housed. So there's a lot of silage being mowed through literally as we speak. So, you know, you need to check your fodder stocks, your silage stocks. How are you going to manage that? On cash flow, cash is tight on many farms as 2023 was a low margin year due to high costs and low output. So Aidan and Declan are saying if you're buying silage at €40 a bale and feeding 6 kilos a meal at €330 a tonne, then the total feed cost will be €440 per cow per day. And that's over €3,000 per week for a 100 cow herd. So it is a massive cost, and there's no credit available when buying silage. Like, that has to be paid on the day. So watch your cash flow budget, have a budget in place to see where you go. I suppose strategy wise, farmers should be thinking about where they're going, what they're going to do when the weather does change and cows go out full time. They're saying that farms that have little or no grazing done, there'll be a lot of grass on the farm, and they might need to cut some of these higher covers for silage sooner rather than later. So this will clean off the old sward and get it back growing nice into leafy grass for May and June. So that's some of the advice there on the dairy front. And then there's advice for beef, sheep and tillage farmers in the management notes at the back of the book as well.
Okay, so the main thing is that anybody listening to the two of us this morning, they should really go out and buy the journal, because there are tips and some very good advice in this week's journal as to how they may be able to alleviate some of the pressure that they're feeling at the moment with regard to having enough of fodder in the yard. And again,
yeah,
maybe,
and I suppose anyone, Jim, that was, you know, back in 2018 when there was an actual fodder crisis, like Chagas are saying, there's plenty of stocks out there, plenty of silage to be bought. You know, what did you do in 2018, which was a terrible year? What did you do then? What did you do differently? Is there any learnings from that? But definitely, like, think back and see, you know, but cash flow, managing your silage, they're two of the main things. And what you're actually going to do once the weather does turn are the key things.
Amy is staying with me for the first part of the next segment after this ad break. Listeners, Amy is still with me, and we're going to touch briefly on two other topics that are in this week's journal. Farmer fury over government's support for BVDs.
Yeah, BVD, bovine viral diarrhoea. Obviously, yeah. Look, the IFA has said that the funding announced to support BVD testing on farms this year is basically an insult to farmers. And IFA Animal Health Chair TG Maher, he said that the department has basically failed to deliver a comprehensive support package for the eradication programme. So basically last week, the week before last, the minister announced a BVD funding package worth €3.75 million. And while it was up from the €2.25 million that came out 2023 and the increased payment per calf, farmers are saying it's still not enough to cover their share of the scheme. So at €2.40, farmers will receive an extra 40 cent per calf up to a maximum of 25 calves for testing in 2024. But TG Maher and the IFA has said that on-farm BVD testing costs are almost €10 million per annum since the programme began over 10 years ago in 2013. And he said that farmers have absorbed over €120 million in testing and associated costs. So there's that. And then the cost of sending off your BVD samples has also increased with on-post increasing the postage sample, so that's, you know, nearly offset there. And he's just saying that the payment is insufficient, and that farmers are rightly furious at the lack of government support for the programme.
There's something else on for the coming week, and I think this is very important, and it goes back to the last interview that I had with you a few minutes ago, and that is farmers are under severe pressure. That there's no doubt at all about it, both mentally and physically at the moment. And we are in Farm Safety Week. I suppose we can't stress enough that farmers should really be looking after their safety on their farm, irrespective of the pressures that they're under.
There's no farm without a farmer, Jim. That's, you know, we've always been told that. And if the farmer isn't there, the farm doesn't work, right? Farmers need to mind themselves, they need to mind their mental health. It's very tough this year. On farmers right across the country, across the sectors. We're basically sick at looking out at the rain, and, you know, you can't do anything about it. And that's a struggle for many who are out and up early and out until late, either in the parlour, in the fields, doing farm work. So farmers really need to mind themselves if they are, you know, kind of closing off from everyone. Like, can you go to your local mart? Can you even go down for the chat there? You know, are you involved in your local GA club? Is there any social gatherings locally? You know, you should be starting to look at that and talk to other farmers. Like, every other farmer is in the same boat as you. Like, it's not just, you know, you feeling it particularly bad. Like, everyone is sick of it. And the advice is basically to talk to plenty of people and talk to people around you, because if you're not there, you know, that's, the farm isn't there, and that's the main thing about minding your mental health. And obviously once things do kick into gear and farms can get back out on normal day-to-day work, mind yourself in terms of machinery wise or livestock wise. You know, don't take shortcuts when it comes to those kind of things, and that's basically the key message.
Yeah, and of course, another message that we should be able to get out this morning, and that is, we know farmers are looking out at the weather. They're probably not doing an awful lot around the yard other than giving a bit of food to the animals. It is a time when they could concentrate a little bit on making sure all their machinery is fit for purpose and is safe.
Yeah, do a check, do a tractor check, do a check around the tractor, make sure everything's in working order. For on the tillage side, you know, any machinery you're going using, make sure that's in working order. Does there need to be work done on anything? Was there something last year that you said, geez, I must get that fixed now before this time next year? You know, is there any of those jobs that can be done, basically? I suppose that's some good advice there.
And on the mental side of it, I've had people on from the IFA in particular asking me to give out the Samaritan's number on my programmes, because they're seeing it at ground level that farmers are mentally stressed at the moment.
Yeah, and those numbers are there and those helplines are there. A quick Google of Samaritans or PETA House or other support lines, they are all there and available online, and there is someone to talk to if a farmer feels the need to pick up the phone to talk to someone. They're always there.
Okay, well, look, at for this morning, Amy, we'll leave it there. I want to thank you for this extended interview and highlighting some of the problems that are out there for farmers at the moment. And I suppose you and I, we hope that the weather will take up in the next week or so, and that we may eventually have a bumper harvest and a bumper milk yield in 2024.
Here's hoping.
Here's hoping. Okay. Thanks very much. Listeners, that was Amy Ford from
Listeners,
the
my
Farmers
final Farm. Guest this morning is Dee Laffin. And Dee is a correspondent and a journalist with the Country Living section of the Irish Farmers Journal.
And we're going to end the programme this morning on a much lighter note than what you have heard to date on this particular programme. Dee is going to tell us all about music events that are happening in Ireland over the summer months. Good morning, Dee, and thanks very much for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me on. I'm delighted to be on.
Great. You have a lovely bit in this week's Country Living section about Irish-run events in Ireland for the summer months. Can you give my listeners a flavour of what's in your article?
Of course. No problem. Well, yeah, it's called Sounds of Summer because I think, well, we're all, as you said, wishing for that summer to come or looking forward to brighter days. So why not do that by injecting some live music into your life? And kind of had a look at just the most, I suppose, events that are soon to be coming out across the country. And there is lots. I mean, particularly as we go through April now towards the bank holiday, the next bank holiday weekend in May. May is a very busy bank holiday for events. So looking around the country, there is, first of all, some musical events happening. We have from the 6th and 9th of April, which is this weekend, there is the Irish Annie's musical. I don't know if any of your listeners were fans of the Royal Family on TV, where Ricky Tomlinson is a famous actor from that, and he's one of the leads in this. But it's along with an Irish production and crew and cast, and it's in touring the country in numerous dates. So from the Crescent Concert Hall in Drogheda to the Town Hall Theatre in Galway, the Everyman in Cork. And it's basically just like a celebration of Irish culture, from the music to the pub, and there's a live six-piece band, so that'll be lots and lots of crack, you know. It'll be really good fun. Later in the month then you have a kind of different style of music, but again musical entertainment. The 20th of April we have Putting on the Ritz with Luke Thomas and his band the Swing Cats, which I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with, who travels the country. And they have a new live show in the Everyman in Cork, which features the Dancing with the Stars pro champ John Nolan. And so they're going to be putting on like all the classics. So, you know, the Hollywood, think Hollywood cinema. You've got like the Ginger Rogers and the Frank Sinatras, all of those classic songs. So that's happening on the 20th of April. Then towards the end of the month, we're going to the West Coast, And from the 26th to 29th of April, we have the Kilfenora Traditional Festival. It's the 15th year of the festival. The series began in 2009. So basically, this is a festival around traditional Irish music and kind of good cracking like pub sessions. Mm-hmm. You know, think about Cayleys and pub sessions. That really sums up what this is. But you've got lots of local people taking part in this. So the Celtic Dance Company will be doing, with their talented young dancers, they're going to be putting on a show. There's a main concert on the Saturday night with features duos Tommy Fitzharris and Donal Caig. And there's an event on the Sunday then as well, and a highlight, and it's an open air Cayley in the mm-hmm. square, and that has the Kilfenora Cayley band as part of it as well. So that sounds like great crack and an excuse to travel out west for anyone who's not living out there. Then we're heading into that busy bank holiday weekend that I talked about in May. And there's a few festivals on from like the 2nd to the 6th across the weekend. Up in Derry, we have the Derry Jazz and Big Band Festival. If anyone wants to travel for a weekend away, this is kind of like almost like the Cork Jazz Festival. It's like mm-hmm. a big jazz festival in the city, and like just so much going on across the city on that weekend. In the Midlands, we have the Burr Festival of Music in County Offaly. I think this is a very well-known festival as well. And they usually have a very busy program of events. You know, they have range from like concerts indoors and outdoors, but then also workshops that people can get involved in, street performances and just pop-ups of like singers in different pubs and musicians and stuff. And the town just usually is buzzing with people like walking around, lots of music fans, but lots of things for families to do as well. It's a really lovely one to go and visit. And then lastly, that weekend as well, but the Kilkenny Roots Festival is on. And this is a fantastic festival for any fans of basically that kind of American roots and blues music. Now, they have quite a lot of, they have homegrown talent, of course, aplenty, but they also bring in some very big names as well. Over the years, they've had some very big names. And this year they have Jeffrey Foucault and the Handsome Family and Robert Finlay, to name but a few. But there'll be lots of music in over 30 venues throughout the city. And there'll be Irish, I said, and international acts there. But there's a lot of free shows. Some of them are ticketed kind of concerts, and then others are free. So, you know yourself, head along to Kilkenny for the weekend and just check it out. It'll be great crack. You know, a lot of the kind of folk music and rockabilly and all that. So that's a really great one to get involved in, I think. But as I said, there is so many festivals on that May Bank holiday weekend.
You couldn't fit them all in, but look at, you've given us a flavour here in Tipperary of what's happening throughout the country over the next month. And let's hope some of my listeners will be able to get to some of the events. But look, I want to thank you, Dee, for joining us this morning. That, listeners, was Dee Laffin, who is a journalist with the Country Living section of the Irish Farmers Journal. That, listeners, is AgriReport for this week. I hope you enjoyed the show and that you'll join me at the same time next week. Coming up next is the news at 10 o'clock, and after that, Eamon Dwyer presents Down Your Way.